Praise the Lord. Goodness and mercy, they are following us all the days of our lives. Isn't that comforting to know? The hymn we sang before that, it says, "Oh, for a closer walk with thee, my Lord." And so this evening, I want to talk about a closer walk with God. Father, we want to say thank you for being present with us in our midst this evening. We thank you because you have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Father, we thank you because you have anointed us with your Holy Spirit so that we can preach the word, blind eyes can be opened, captives can be set free, prisoners can be loosed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of John. John 21:14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Praise the Lord. Now, the third time after he had died, Jesus was appearing to his disciples. He appeared the first time, he appeared the second time, he appeared the third time. And this third time, he had dinner with them. You can imagine, this is the reality of our Lord and our Savior. He was crucified on the cross. The whole world saw him die. Yet he's risen and he's having dinner with his disciples. And that is why we can confidently say, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to some, this might be like, how can somebody who is dead rise again and be having dinner? But these are witnesses who are writing what they saw and what they experienced. And In the preceding chapter, verses, you find that Christ had been crucified. Peter had gone back to his profession. He had denied Jesus three times before Jesus was crucified. He was chosen by Jesus even while he was fishing and fruitless efforts. And then says, "Cast your net to the right," after he had used his boat. And then they had such a great catch that broke the net. And he says, "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man. Don't come near me, this is too much." Because he's a fisherman, he's an experienced man. He knows that there's no way fish can be caught in that place at that time. And yet, the nets are broken. But what did he do? He left everything. He forsook all. I want us to note that word. He forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, last week, the minister who preached was talking about separation, which is forsaking all and following Jesus. But you see that this man who forsook all and followed Jesus denied him at a very crucial stage of his life. And Jesus had told him before that, you will deny me. And he said, never, because I've followed you, I've seen. We've seen your transfiguration. We've seen so much. We've gone out there, we've healed people. I will never forsake you. If you're going to die, I will die with you. And so many of us are zealous, very zealous for God, want to do great works for God. We're determined. Then something happens and we fall flat. But Jesus is not holding it against him. Jesus is appearing the third time. And he's asking him, lovest thou me more than this? Because again, they had gone fishing. Again, Jesus had given them a massive catch. And it was out of that catch, he was now making dinner. And Jesus was the one making dinner for them. And so, this is time for serious business. Jesus is going. He says, these things you are pursuing, am I more important? And this is a question we all have to ask ourselves. Do we love the Lord Jesus more than any other thing? It is a question that determines how our lives will go. Because the very nature of man, it is your desire that propels you. If you don't have any desire, you die. But your desire propels you. And that's why God put desire in man. So, what do you desire? But the psalmist says, there is nothing that I desire besides thee, O Lord. And in trying to understand this message, I kept on asking God. And I understood it, but I couldn't really. So when Pastor Mark prayed that God should give me the grace to frame the message properly, I said a big amen. So I hope and I pray that I will do that. If you look at 1 John 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Then verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. So the question is, who are you having fellowship with? To put it another way, if I had fellowship with the Queen of England, and everybody here knew that I had fellowship with the Queen of England, and I came back and I told you, oh, the Queen was the one talking about the cake we had, and she didn't like that particular cake. And you all know that is true. There will be some regard which you would give me. Oh, this man is so close to the Queen. They are buddies, they talk. But here, we're talking of fellowship with the Father and with the Son. What is higher than that? What is greater than that? Fellowship with your Maker. This is what it's all about. But then the question is, how do we enjoy that fellowship? The hymn, he says, many a times I get, you go away from my heart. Why? Because of sin. This fellowship is broken, just like it was broken with Peter when he denied Jesus. But now Jesus is telling him, lovest thou me more than this? So this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, man restored to fellowship with God. That is all it's all about. And it's important that we note that this restoration, who was responsible for it? Were we the ones that restored fellowship? Or was it God that restored the fellowship? And this is what bothers me. Because in my Christian life, I kept on noticing that, you know, sometimes there's something bothering you and you can't put your finger to it. And you keep on, there's something not right here, there's something not right here. Finally, I started seeing it clearly. It's not about me. It's about God. And it might sound very simple, but a lot of us have turned it upside down. It's now about us and no longer about God. In the beginning, God created. Now, John says, that which was from the beginning. And God says, even before the foundation of the world, I knew you. So, it's about God. The word of God says, to the purpose of him, that's in Ephesians, it says 1:11, to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Job says, who has advised him? Who has told him what to do? The word of God says, he does as he pleases in the heavens. So it pleased God to make the earth, to make the heavens, to make man. And what did he do to man? He made man have dominion over all the earth. And man was in such a glorious position. And he now made all the animals and brought them before man and said, name them. And whatever you call them, that is what they will be. That was the position of the authority, an authority man exercised. Now, I have a very vivid imagination, so it has always affected me. Maybe somebody describes something and my imagination goes to play. So when I now see that, so this is what I was thinking of something. So now I try to imagine, how was the Garden of Eden? How was it? Can anybody try and imagine how that place was? Now you must remember that in the Garden of Eden, God communed with man. And he had just made man. The Bible doesn't tell us how many years man lived in communion with God before the serpents came in. But can you imagine, do you think it was something that was primitive, or a jungle, or an idyllic beach like the Bahamas with fruits and trees? It's so difficult to conceive. And in our own present mindset, do you think it's something that was not as advanced as this modern society that we live in, with communication, laptops, computers, everything? So you try and imagine it. How was that place? And that was the peak of God's creation. A man newly made in the image and likeness of God. The word God, the English word, is derived from a German word meaning good. So it describes that person. Good. God is good. John tells us God is love. So you can see what he has done. His own image, his own likeness, he makes this man. And then allows him to enjoy everything. But what happened? Why are we looking at this? Corinthians says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, underline the word mind, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a very simple thing, but if your mind is corrupted, it becomes complicated. So the devil came in this paradise that man was enjoying. He says, do you think God is being honest with you? Is there something he's holding back? Has he told you this? So he introduces doubt, the enemy of faith. And Eve knew the right answer. And she said, yes, God said. But the word of God says, she looked at the tree. If I may quickly just... she looked at it. And when that... Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So she made a decision. God had given man that choice. A lot of us like to deny choice, but we daily make choices, and each choice we make takes us closer to God or further from God. And sometimes we want to blame people for our choices. It was because of my father. My mother didn't love me. This one did this to me. That person did that to me. No, we're responsible for our choices. One of the fruits of the Spirit, self Self-control. Self-control. So we see now that man deliberately rejected all that God had offered him. The paradise, because he said, I want to be like God. I don't want this man, this person who made me, I don't want him controlling my life. So you can see the gravity of it. The person you made, gave the best to, in your image and likeness, he now turns around and says, I don't want you anymore. I want to control my own life. I want to be like you. Make my own decisions. And that's where we are today. So Jesus is asking Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Why? Because if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what Jesus said. So any disobedience in my life is as a result of no love for God. And then that man annoyed me so much. So I had to speak harshly to him and insult him. No love for God. You disobeyed God. Pray for those that despisefully use you. Love those that hate you. You obey it, you love God. You don't obey it, you don't love God. Yeah, but what he did was so terrible, I can never forgive him. No love for God. Clear, simple. It's not complex. That's the simplicity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they've rebelled, they've gone out. But what has God done? Because God is good, because God is love, God immediately activates a second plan. Bring them back into fellowship. And you notice that it was God who went to look for them. He says, where art thou, Adam? And you see here again, Jesus went to look for Peter. And Peter was away fishing. So at every time, God is looking for us and asking us, where are you? So that is the title of this message. Where are you? Today, where are you? But we move on. Now, again in 2 Corinthians, it says, if our message is hid, it is hid to those whom the God of this world has blinded. It says, but God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. You see, an impossible situation, out of darkness he brought light, has now saved some of us. And we are to go out and save other people. So Jesus Christ is telling Peter, go and do this work. There is a work, brothers and sisters, assigned to each and every believer. And the basis of that work is your love for God. A lot of us get so carried away in that work that we forget God. And that's why the church in Revelation, God said, you have forgotten your first love. Any work that is done that is not based on a love for God is a worthless work. Because you are just walking. You don't love God. And how do we show love? By obeying. That's why you see Paul saying, forbear with one another in love. Why? Each and every one of us has Christ in him. Each and every one of us has Christ in him. What is the mystery that was hidden from ages, which is now revealed to us? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So at this stage, let's quickly remind us ourselves who Christ is. I was speaking to Yan, a young boy, and I said to him, I said, if Bill Gates should walk in as we're playing tennis there and says, hello, I heard you're Mr. Kirele. I said, yeah, how are you, Mr. Bill? He said, oh, good. I want to give you a new deal. I'm going to enter a covenant relationship with you. All that is mine is yours, and all that is yours is mine. And I said, oh, Mr. Bill, let me go and think about it. He said, what will you say about me? He said, oh, I'll find that very strange. And what is God offering us now? He's making us one with his son. Jesus himself said, I am the vine, you are the branches. God himself tells us that now, in Christ Jesus, we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us has a work that God has prepared beforehand, according to this scripture, that we should walk, and that God prepared for us to walk. Another scripture says he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us before the world began. Purpose, grace given to us before the world began. Now, if I go back to God and I have not fulfilled purpose or carried out the work, so one, I must love him. Two, in that love, I must carry out the work. So what if I'm on earth and I don't know the work I'm supposed to do? So I could be an evangelist, maybe in Malaysia, and God is calling me to be a pastor in Nigeria. And so I want to go back to heaven and say, God, I evangelized, so many souls were converted. And he says, go away from me, I don't know you. Why? I did not do what he sent me to do. So I was speaking with Janus and Annette. I said, now I don't know you. I want to make breakfast because you've invited me to your house. And I want to please you. So I make breakfast, a Nigerian breakfast. Maybe pap, akara, and lovely Nigerian food that I will love. And I present it to you, two Polish people. And I'm so excited, they're going to enjoy this breakfast. And then you wake up, maybe you didn't even eat dinner. And then you see that breakfast, and you see me grinning, so happy. But you can't enjoy it. But it's a good breakfast. So service, which is not service that God requires and God wants, is not service. It is not pleasing to God. Revelations 4:1, 4:11, where you deserve all the glory, power, and honor. For all things were made for your glory, power, and honor, to please you. That's where all things were made. And how do we live? Why do we live? We live to please God. So how do we please God? We carry out the work he has told us to do, and we love him. So we go on. Now, this is the problem. Many of us know this. God has a work. We carry out the work. But then, why is there so much defeat in the body of Christ? Why is there so much double-mindedness? Why is there so much bitterness, envy, rivalry, discord, scheming, speak evil of no man, yet so much gossip, so much slander? And we now come to accept this as normal. It's because that's my weakness. I'm a human being. I can't just do like that. Why is there so much pursuit of self? I want to be the best. I want to be in charge of this. This is my own. Fighting in the body of Christ. This church is not good. That one is. People, even brethren killing each other, doing the work of the enemy. So this is what I now took to the Lord. And I started thinking of it over the years. What can I do to make my work more effective? So I now saw this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then I saw that this is the plan of God, that in the end times he should bring everything together. Things in heaven, things on earth. Bring them together in Christ. Then he goes on to tell us that for as many of us that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then he goes on to tell us again that but put in Romans, say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So the question now is that when the Apostle Paul now says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in Christ. So I now started looking at myself. Am I really living by faith in Christ? He says, take no thought of what you will eat or what you will drink. This is what the Gentiles pursue. I'm your provider. And this is the Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Have you seen a sheep taking thought of what he will eat? How the grass will be? Not possible. Cast all your cares and burdens unto him. Why? Because he cares for you. But then, when I put on Christ, he has made me one with Christ. Jesus said he's the vine and the branch. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, don't you know? He said, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Don't you know that Christ is in you? Remember he had said earlier, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For you to get any glory that will bring glory to God, in your horn is my horn exalted. You must be pleasing God. And how do you please God? Don't you know that Christ is in you? Examine yourself whether you are still in the faith. Are you living by faith? And in Galatians, it tells us faith works by love. No love, no faith. And without faith, no man can please God. So, I now realize that I have to lay down all the struggle and start living by trusting God. And this is the difficulty. If Jesus is the one living in me, just like the song we sang this morning, I think 384, isn't it? The one Marion chose.
534.
It says, always a conqueror. If Jesus is the one living in me and is no longer I, I'm always conquering. And that's why it says, we overwhelmingly conquer. Through who? Through him who loved us. Not through ourselves. And that's why you can confront any mountain and speak to the mountain, because you are no longer doing the work. It is now Jesus doing the work. But when I am doing the work, it becomes a pain. It becomes a burden. These are my cares. And so sometimes Sister Faye comes to me, and on a day I've been praying, fasting, preaching here, doing this there, and it's so overwhelming. And so and before you know it, I explode. And she says, oh, but this is a man of God. Why is he talking to me like this? And I said, look, then later I go and apologize. Why? It is not I. I have allowed I to take control. I have not given the burden to Jesus. It is not Jesus speaking to her. So even as we're ministering today, I pray that it is not me, that it is Jesus speaking through me. And I believe that this is what God is calling us to do. Peter, lovest thou me more than this? So, the word of God says, practice righteousness. Each day, you yield. Know ye not that whom you yield to, you become, if it's sin, slave unto death. If it is God, life unto righteousness, eternal life. So again, you see that decision-making process. Who do you yield to? Even though, like Adam and Eve, you've been made a child of God, even though now you've been made one with Christ, his very life is in you. Even though Christ is in you, are you going to say, I want to take all this and go and do my own thing, go back to fishing? Or are you going to say, I will live for you? And like Peter said, he said, thou knowest all things. We can't deceive God. If our hearts are turned away from God, I can deceive you because you don't see my heart. But we cannot deceive God. He sees the hearts of each and every one of us. If there's bitterness there, if there's anger there, if there's unforgiveness there, if there's immorality there, it's open to him. We're like an open book. So we now have to come back and receive that life of Christ and live by that life of Christ. Enjoy victory over sin, victory over the world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And what's the third one?
Lust of the eyes.
And that's what Eve saw. It was good for food. It looked beautiful. I would be like God. And the Bible says all of it is passing. You are Bill Gates today. You will be 90 years old. Our pastor was discussing before his father passed on. He said his father loved good food and his wine. But all that at 102 meant nothing to him anymore. So those things we enjoy. I love good food too. And Sister Faith loves good food, and that's why she's my friend. Because we all love good food. But then we mustn't make it a priority. Lovest thou this more than me? Jesus is our number one. And anything we enjoy here in this world, we must know that it's passing away. It will go. It will no longer be enjoyable at a particular stage. We will leave it. So I pray that we go back to the foundation and let Jesus be the one living through us. And when we see Jesus in each other, no matter what you do, I know that Jesus is in you. And because I love Jesus, I love you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.